you were working for the Overseas Telecommunications Commission.
Yeah, that's correct, Colin. I was employed as a technician with OTC with the installation and maintenance of telecommunication and satellite tracking equipment. Previously, I had gained my electronic experience in the Royal Canadian Air Force, where I went on to specialize in radar ground, and specifically with the FPS-27 long-range radar, which was used on the Mid-Canada and Pine Tree line. Prior to being employed with OTC, I'd worked in television broadcasting after I left the Royal Canadian Air Force in Canada and here at Channel 10 in Sydney. And my field with them was maintenance, and I also worked in the Telecine department, the videotaping. Because I was really the only one at Paddington at the time who had any experience in television broadcasting installation and maintenance, I just happened to be the right place at the right time, and I was assigned to the Nassau team to help them with the installation of the scan converters and associated equipment for the Apollo moon landings. I had come into Australia in 1968, a year previous, born in 40, made me 28, so I was 29 at the time. I was one of the babies of the team, really.
So what was Sydney Video and where was it?
Well, look, Colin, Sydney Video was located in a room known as the International Telecommunications Operating Center. And this room, in turn, was located in the Overseas Telecommunications Center building in Oxford Street, Paddington. It was a specially constructed room at that time for the Apollo and 11 shots, the missions. Yeah.
So it was like a glassed-in room within the larger area?
That's correct, yes. It was all air-conditioned, specially modified.
You helped in setting up a lot of the equipment, as I understand it. A lot of it came in from the States, I guess.
Oh, yes. Well, most of it did come in from the States, the scan converters, and they really shipped in the bulk of their equipment, their own oscilloscopes and associated equipment. Yeah.
And all of their equipment would have been 60 hertz.
That's right.
So they needed their own power supply for that as well.
Oh, yes. Well, that was one of our problems at the time. we had a bit of problem. I don't know whether you were aware of that or not, but we, because the links in one of the power supplies in the scan converter wasn't properly checked, we actually blew it up when we plugged it in. So it took us some time to locate that particular fault in that area and rectify it.
And it was as a result of that problem that some of the other guys came out from Goddard, like Ted Knotts and...
That's right. The main team included Charlie Goodman, of course, who was from Nassau Goddard Space Center, the Goddard Space Center. He headed the team. And then some of the other fellows they pulled in at the time to rectify these problems were Vern McLinn, Dick Hall, Elmer Fred, Ted Knotts was there, and Ray Love, and myself on the team. And there was one other member from OTC assigned to the team, and that was Robert Brand. It was a fairly restricted area throughout the operation, and on the other side of the glass panels, from time to time, were some of the OTC employees that come up to have a little bit of a squiz. And then, of course, on the day, some of the press was on the other side of the glass, but not allowed in that area. There were monitors for the press and some of the public to view the actual stepping out on the moon.
You had at least two video recorders recording the NTSC converted television picture.
As far as I remember, they both worked.
So Charlie Goodman was sitting at the console that had the pictures coming in from Honeysuckle and Parks.
That's right. Well, Charlie was actually the man responsible to choose between the two signals coming from either Honeysuckle or Parks and whatever. Mm-hmm. So he was the one that had to make that decision through Houston, and yes, yeah. And all the other fellows were around as well.
So where were you on the day? Were you?
I was where I'd been for a few weeks previous. At the TV monitors, glued to them, actually, after we finished all our testing. You know, I just was just waiting for the pictures from the moon. We'd finished installing, testing them, so it was just a matter of waiting. We'd taken weeks to install and test that equipment, rectify the problems. We'd worked from, you know, very long hours, sometimes from 6 a.m. till 3 a.m. the next morning, that team. So when the day came, it was a great feeling. I mean, what could you say? Man was just about to complete the most significant feat in his lifespan since standing erect. And the mood was electric, but very somber, especially since we'd had the problems beforehand with failure, some of the parts of the equipment. And after all, we were responsible at that stage, the last link, to make sure that these pictures coming from the surface of the moon were beamed to the rest of the world.
And it worked wonderfully on the day, didn't it?
It did. It was just amazing. I remember the countdown of the Apollo 11 beforehand, the liftoff. I had followed with a few of the others the whole voyage to the moon, and then there was no more excitement than when the lunar module actually touched down and man finally stepped out on the surface of the moon. You know, the signals were strong. A scan converter held together. The associated equipment worked like a charm, and we beamed those pictures out to Australia and the rest of the world. So, no, it was a great feeling.
This interview was recorded with Wayne Ozarko of OTC for honeysucklecreek.net in June 2009.